Our Father, we thank you for your presence. Indeed, let the weight of your glory, your unction, your revelation, your anointing, fall on my heart and my lips, upon the hearts and the ears of your people, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to them, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, causing our wills to become more humble, to submit to your will as your word comes forth. Our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge. I pray that, Lord God, the power of your Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal. Power that will deliver. Power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of these things that they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy, so I will be faithful in the delivery of the word. Do it with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, I have a very important prophetic message for us, and it's for the church. It's actually a continuation of my message from last week, and it's entitled The Manifestation of the Sons of God. For years, the church has been hearing of this. I remember my wife saying that when she first got born again, that's what she used to hear, manifestation of sons of God, manifestation of sons of God. Anybody who's been in Pentecostal prophetic word of faith circles will be very familiar with this expression. And for years, we've all looked forward to it. The day of its fulfillment is at hand. Hence, this fresh prophetic preaching and teaching about it. One of the purposes, in fact, the main purpose of the prophetic ministry is to preach, to teach, and to prophesy. See, most people only think of prophetic ministry in terms of prophecy. You know, you get a gift, maybe the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, then you come and say something or predict something about the future. That's important, but it's a very small aspect. The prophetic ministry goes beyond just prophecy and prediction of future events. It certainly includes that, but that's not the main purpose of the prophetic ministry. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin many years ago in 1959 in a hospital in Texas after he had an accident, and said, I want to teach you about the prophets and the prophets' ministry. And he told him a lot of things, but amongst some of the things he told them, he said that the prophet preaches and teaches like everybody else. The main purpose of the prophetic ministry is to preach, teach, and where the Spirit of God is in operation, prophesy about the purposes of God that are in the immediate future of the church, so that God's people will be enlightened and instructed about the purpose, and therefore fulfill the purpose and prosper in it. It is for this reason the scripture says, believe the Lord your God, so you will be established, and then believe his prophets, so you will prosper. That prosper isn't just money, it includes money, but it's not just money. It means to prosper in the purpose of God that the prophet has proclaimed. Another very important thing about the prophet's ministry is that we are not led by prophets. We're led by the Holy Spirit. But do we need prophets? Most assuredly, yes. Why? Because the prophets will confirm, clarify, and amplify what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, to us, individually and collectively. It is the confirmation, the clarification, and the amplification that enables us to act intelligently and cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that we can prosper in the purpose. Without the prophetic clarification, without the prophetic confirmation, and without the prophetic amplification, we will not be able many times to fulfill what God has purposed for us. That's why we need the prophets, and in particular, we need the prophetic teaching ministry, which by the grace and the mercy of God, I have been and I am endowed with. The manifestation of the sons of God. Firstly, I'd like you to turn with me as a text. My beginning text is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 19. That's where this expression actually comes from, the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, and if you look at verse 19, I believe it is. Excuse me. Right. I'm just going to... It's a difficult verse to read in isolation. You need to actually read the things around it, but because of time, I'm just going to zero in on it. He said, for the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? For the creature or creation has been made subject to vanity. A better word for that is futility. It's been made futile. Means the word futile means to useless. What means is that it's not fulfilling its purpose that the Creator made it for. It was made subject to futility, not willingly. It's not the fault of the creation, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. God allowed creation to be subject to futility through Satan because of the fall of Adam. I'm filling a lot of gap here, you know. Because, I didn't hear you. The creature or the creation itself, which includes men and women and boys and girls, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What is the purpose of the manifestation of the sons of God? To deliver creation from the bondage of corruption that they have been put in through Satan, through the fall of Adam, through Adam legally, because Adam had dominion of the planet. So when he fell and he became under Satan's dominion, Satan now took dominion of the planet. And that's why we have all the things we've seen. You know, earlier in my Bible study today, you know, Jesus was on the boat and he was going, said, let's go to the other side. And suddenly there was a storm. That was not God. That was the devil. A lot of our geographic, climatic conditions we see on the earth today are a result of this scripture. You know, the manifestation of it there, the creation is being subject to frustration, to futility, vanity. That's why you see so many bad things. I used to wonder for years where all these things came from before I became a Christian. You know, earthquakes, pestilences, sickness, disease, death. You know, people say it's God who made it that way. No, God didn't make it that way. They became that way. They became subject to vanity because of man's sin, through which Satan now had dominion of the planet. And you must understand this. Many Christians don't. Satan is not God. Not even close. He's an angel created by God, initially perfect. Then he fell, you know, and God kicked him out of heaven. Sadly, he took one third of the angels with him. These thus become the evil spirits that we know today. We call them principalities and powers and wicked spirits in the heavenly places. And they now rule over the planet in a lot of places, except where people know Jesus Christ and begin to exercise authority. Now, the thing about the devil you need to understand is this. He likes to pretend as if he is God, but he's not God. He's limited in wisdom. He's limited in power. He certainly has wisdom and power. Don't misunderstand me. But it's limited. And that limitation is what is causing the corruption that is in the earth. He can't handle what he took over. Why? He's not God. That's why things are distorted. That's why you see all the things that are happening. He tries to pretend as if he can. Sometimes he will do a few things. You know, Satan can heal. Hello? Oh yeah, he can do miracles. But there's a limit. Because he's a created being. Now, our job as the sons of God is to bring God's dominion. That's why we call it kingdom. Onto the scene to rectify the corruption that Satan and his angels have wrought in the earth. The scripture puts it this way beautifully in 1 John. He says, for this purpose, everybody read, say it after me. I didn't hear you. Was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Turn to your neighbor and say, what is the purpose of the manifestation of the sons of God? One word, destroy the works of the devil. Give a lot of clap offering. Simple. So that people will see the difference between God and the devil. That's what Jesus did. But like we sang in that song by David Ingalls, Jesus was just the first one to be born again. And he has a whole string of brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Behind him, who are going to demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. The wisdom they don't have, we're going to manifest it. Because they're limited in wisdom. They're limited in power. The power they don't have, we're going to manifest it. And then we're going to show them how to run the planet properly. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. And in case you're thinking only of the millennial reign, which it includes, no, it's not only going to be during the millennial reign, because these manifested sons of God are going to taste of the powers of the age to come. And manifest it in this age as a witness and a warning to all humanity. So people who now reject Jesus Christ after this manifestation of the sons of God will only have themselves to blame. And when these manifested sons of God and the church are caught up in what we call the rapture, then all the terrible things of the great tribulation are going to befall them. But God will not allow that to happen until he's given them a chance to see the difference between when God is in charge and when the devil is in charge. Give him another clap offering, somebody. Now, last week, I spoke about imitating Jesus to becoming disciples and sons. And apparently, I frightened a lot of people when I said, I'm not a son yet. And people came to me and said, you know, after the service in my office, we're sharing. And then later on during the week, you know, I said, ah, Pastor Louis, you're not a son. You've been doing this thing for 40 years. What is the hope for me and you? Well, let me clarify that. What I said was correct, but let me clarify it. by the grace and the mercy of God, I am a mature son, but I am not a manifested son. And that's what I meant, and I did say it last week. When you're talking about manifested sons, the only one we've seen so far is the Lord Jesus Christ. But before this age closes, we have to see a company of manifested sons that are exactly like the Lord Jesus was, who will do the works Jesus did and greater. I didn't hear amen. So there's a difference between a mature son. A mature son is a mature disciple. Just a brief review. A disciple is one who is practicing the disciplines of Christ, who is imitating Jesus in the fear of God, in self-denial and taking up his cross daily. They're actually tied together. And in obedience, walking in the Spirit, keeping the law of life and love in his mouth, you know, and praying in the Spirit throughout the day, at least, you know, once every 6 hours and then in between. That's what a disciple is. If you're not doing that, you're not a disciple. You know, it's very simple. You know, a disciple is not just somebody who goes to church, who's a Christian, or who is working for God. All those things are not bad, they're good. But you can do all those things and not be a disciple. And I want to say this, you know, I said this during the Bible study. Many Christians are doing a lot of stuff for God, you know, physical labor. I like what Jesus said through John to the Ephesian church. He said, "I know thy works. You've done this, you do this." He said, "But I have something against you." He said, "You've left the first works." What a disaster. You're doing a lot of activity, but it's not counting with God. Like I said during the Bible study, like Papa Ralph said, and Mommy has echoed it many times down there. You're baking a lot of apple pie, but God doesn't want apple pies. He wants disciples. And there's no shortcut about it. Jesus said, you know, I was going to say this during the Bible study, I didn't, but I'll say it now. Jesus had, as recorded in the four Gospels, in that 3-year period, Jesus had only about 100 disciples. I use the word about. We know the 12, then we know 70, which is 82. And I'm sure there were a few others, you know, that maybe were not recorded. Because there was a particular person who was doing miracles, and they wanted to stop him. And Jesus said, no, don't stop him. He's not against us, he's for us. Even though he may not have been in the inner circle, but he was practicing the principles. And he too was operating what we call the borrowed anointing. Just for clarification, the borrowed anointing is a portion of the same quality of anointing that was on the Lord Jesus Christ that is now given to disciples who are following him. So the 12 could do the same things Jesus did. In particular, they could instant. See, the instant part is the part that makes it the Spirit without measure. We heal people today, but many times it's not instant. The other part of the Spirit without measure is that it's consistent. Everybody say instant, consistent healing of the sick, cleansing of the lepers, raising of the dead, and casting out devils characterize the Spirit without measure. So God takes a portion of that Spirit and he puts it on the disciples that are following. So you see the 12 doing it. The Bible says they went and healed everywhere. You see the 70 do the same thing. So a disciple is one who is imitating Jesus in those things, the fear of God, self-denial, carrying up his cross daily. Ever say, shout daily. Said the cross is to be carried daily. If you're not carrying cross daily, you're not a disciple. I didn't say it, Jesus said it, and I'm going to echo him. He said that if any man come after me, he says, let him take up his cross daily. You know, and if he loves mother or father or any other thing, mother, I mean, let him take up his cross and follow. The word follow is the word mimetis, which means to mimic. He said, it is those that are disciples. Now, I want to say this Because it's instructive for us to know this, so we will not be deceived. Jesus had multitudes that were following him. At any point in time, Jesus probably had 5,000 people following him. I just take that, you know, from the feeding of the 5,000. But of those 5,000, only like 100 were really disciples. And you know the funny thing, I think it's in Luke 14. The Bible says that, you know, the multitudes were following him. Let's go there. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. Luke chapter 14. Am I talking to anybody here? And yes, the cost of discipleship. Watch this. Look at verse 26. And there went, I didn't hear you. Great multitude. Everybody shouted. With him. And he turned and said unto them, turn to your neighbor and say, them who? Multitudes. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life. I explained all this last week. I used my own personal life as an example. He cannot be my disciple. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross. In Luke 9, he said it was daily. And come after me or follow me or imitate me. Cannot be my disciple. Let me just stop there. The point I want to make is this. Jesus realized that the multitude that were following him were not disciples. So he didn't want them to be deceived. So he turned to them and said, look, it's good you're following me. This is Olubi Johnson, 21st century paraphrase. But if you want to be my disciple, you've got to put your commitment to me higher than your natural commitments to your parents and all of that. Number two, you have to take up your cross daily. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So I'm going to go back to what I said. Many Christians today are like the multitude. They're following Jesus, but they're not following Jesus. Sounds like a contradiction. But that's the truth. Well, they're following him. But they're not following him to be disciples. They're following him for the blessings of the gospel. I didn't hear you. I said they're not following him to become disciples. They're following him because of the blessings of the gospel. I remember that they're blessing in the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ will get you healed. The gospel of Jesus Christ will get you prosperous financially. The brothers of Jesus Christ will deliver you from satanic oppression. That's the reason why many people are following Jesus. They're not following to become disciples. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you this afternoon? Hello, somebody. The great multitude of the church are not following Jesus to become disciples. They're following him for bread and fish. Let me say it like that. They're following him for healing. They're following him for deliverance. They're following him for prosperity. They're following him for husband. They're following him for wife. They're following him for children. I didn't hear amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. It's the truth. And that's why he wasn't discouraging them from following him. But he was telling them that you can follow me and not become a disciple. You cannot be following like the crowd followed Jesus in Jesus' time. And guess what? The multitude will always get blessed. The multitude that were following him that were not disciples, all of them ate that day. The disciples ate. And the other guys too ate. So eating is not discipleship. Honey, the scripture just floated to my heart. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom is not eating and drinking. Jesus will give you food. He will give you fish. He will give you bread. He will heal you. But that does not make you a disciple. And it is only disciples as defined, as I have defined, that grow up to become sons. Firstly, mature sons like Paul. Paul in Philippians chapter 3, I'm not going to turn there because of time, so I can zero in on my main message. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, we may conformable unto his death, so that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He was not talking about the resurrection at the rapture. He was talking about the life of God being made manifest in his mortal flesh. Now he said, I have not yet got there. He said, I'm not there yet. I'm not already perfect. He said, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, but let as many of us as are mature have this mind. So Paul was a mature son, but he was not a manifested son. Bible, someone asked him, he said, Brother Luby, what is a manifested son? I'm going to tell you right now. A manifested son is one that has grown to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, such that the life of God, that's where we get manifest from, is made manifest in his mortal flesh. It's not in his resurrected body. This is here, before Jesus comes. So this is not futuristic. It's now. The life of God is made manifest in his mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 10 and 11. But I'm going to zero in now. The life of God is made manifest in his mortal flesh, empowering, consistent, instant healing of the sick, cleansing of lepers, raising the dead, and casting out devils. We're going to say it together so you get it. Everybody say after me. Manifested sons have the life of God manifested in their mortal physical bodies like the Lord Jesus Christ, empowering, consistent, instant healing of the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils. That's what a manifested son is. There are none on the earth at the moment. We have a lot of mature sons like myself and many others by the grace and the mercy of God, but not manifested sons. Do we heal the sick? Yes, we do sometimes, but it's certainly not consistent, and many times it's certainly not instant. We haven't seen it yet. But the world is about to see it. You know what the Bible says? It says the whole creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation. There is an expectation in the hearts of sinners, of the governments of the world, for God to show up and deliver them from the perils of the end time. Humanity is facing an existential crisis at the moment. What COVID-19, I'm going to get there in a minute. That's the scripture we're going to go to in Haggai. But before I get there, I'm getting ahead of myself. Did to the nations, shook all the nations of the earth beyond anything that anybody has ever seen in human history. As at today, according to WHO, the last time I heard it on CNN, I'm sure it's surpassed it, over 5 million people have died from COVID-19. And even today, as I'm speaking, variants are coming out, they're giving vaccines, they're giving boosters, and if the truth be told, many of them are not really sure what's going to happen. Well, thank God for the vaccines that have come. Thank God for how it has helped and prevented a lot of people. But people get double vaccination and still die. There's a story I read heard on CNN. I think I read it online. You know, of a particular man who was flying. I don't know whether it was Turkish Airlines or Lufthansa. I can't remember. But one airline anyway. And he had COVID and he had been doubly vaccinated. He was sick. he got into the plane, you know, and, you know, because he was vaccinated and he was negative and all that. By the time they landed in wherever it was that they landed, he was dead. Yes. He died in his seat inside the plane. All the people on that flight have been quarantined and, you know, but I think that most of them are okay. I'm not saying that to frighten you. I'm saying that to let you know the severity of the conditions that we're facing. God is trying to pass a message across. And the message is this. Yes, I've given you medical science and I'm helping you. But at the end of the day, ultimately, you need me. Give him a clap offering, somebody. The economic fallout of COVID-19, the effect of it is still being felt. And most governments don't have the courage to tell you how bad the situation is, because they don't want to create a panic. For almost 9 months, even over a year, many governments were paying people who were at home because they couldn't go to work because of COVID. Who's going to pay for that? I'm painting a realistic picture to you of why, honey, the manifestation of the sons of God must be now. We can't afford it to push it again to 2023. And I'm going to show you in a minute why it didn't happen in 2021. I, as a person, I must be honest, I fully expected it in 2021, this year. I prayed, I did everything I knew to do, but it didn't happen. And I have to go to God to find out. See, when things don't happen, don't let's behave like ostriches. Put our head in the sand and just say, oh, well, it's just the will of God. It's not the will of God. The Bible says we should hasten its coming. The Bible says we should speed its coming. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. If God could have allowed it to happen in 2021, it would have happened. Why didn't it happen in 2021? The conditions were not fulfilled. Amen. Hence this prophetic message. We must not miss 2022. Now, I did not say it has to, it's going to happen in 2022. I didn't say that. I can't say that because I understand that man has a part to play in this. God has a part to play. Man too has a part to play. That's why he said that, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. I don't know. I'm trusting it will be 2022. I believe it will be 2022. I'm praying it will be 2022. But no one man can do it. I've come to see now it's a corporate work. There's a part each of us plays individually, then there's a part we all play together. My wife said it so beautifully some weeks ago or months ago. Every part playing its share. It's one of the reasons why it didn't happen. We had the number, but we didn't have the capacity. And a lot of people, you know, oh, Pastor Luby will pray. Oh, Mommy Sarah will pray. You know. And then this problem I just mentioned about discipleship and followership is also a great part of it. Majority of people, hence this message to change our mentality. Majority of people are following for blessings. They're not following to become disciples. It's not on their agenda. If they can be healed, they can be prosper, they get their wife, get their visa, you know, their career is going fine, their profession, they're happy. They don't really care about discipleship. So God just has a few people that really want to become disciples and press in. And it's those people now he has to use, you know, to generate the spirit without measure and release it into the earth. So we got to change our mentality and our orientation completely. Stop following Jesus only for fish and bread. There's nothing wrong with fish and bread. Please eat it. But if that's the only thing you're following for, you're not a disciple, and you have become a liability to the kingdom rather than an asset. I don't know if you can say amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Majority of us are liabilities to the kingdom and not assets, because we are consuming more than we are contributing. If you can say amen, say oh me. Recently, I taught us about united prayer in the spirit. It is sad, but it is true. The number of contributing saints are so small, and then everybody is consuming. They're not wrong in consuming. Even the contributing saints consume. The generating saints consumes. But if the number of contributing saints and the number of generating saints are so small, and the number of consuming saints is so large, where are we going to get the extra to generate the spirit without measure for the glory? I don't know if you heard me. It's simple spiritual economics. Am I talking to anybody here? Say, Pastor Luby, where do you get all this from? The Bible? It's revelation. I went to God. I said, God, why? And he told me, he said, now I want you to go and teach. So he gave me a series of messages. I'm still downloading some of them. He said, go and tell them about this. Discipleship. Not every Christian is a disciple. Not even every praying person is a disciple. Some people are praying only for their miracle. They're not praying to become disciples. Thank you, darling. No character. How many people genuinely can say, don't put up your hand, I don't want to embarrass you. How many people can genuinely say in their heart that the most important thing in their Christian life is to become conformed to the image of Jesus? And that is the thing that they are running after. You see, it went very quiet. You could hear a pin drop. That's not the priority of most people. The priority of most people is, let me get healed. Let me get delivered. Let my business and my profession prosper. Let me get a new house. Let me get visa. Let me get car. That's what they're praying about. But they're not praying. The prayer to become like Jesus is not a priority prayer than the prayer for their needs. Thank God for mommy, Wale, Pastor Boyega, and a few others. Oh, you're about to say, otito koro. In our language, that means the truth is bitter. I just told you the truth. That's why the manifestation hasn't come. Too many people aren't interested in the manifestation. They're just interested in their own individual, personal, selfish blessings. And now you're wrong in those blessings, but if it now becomes the priority of your life, then it becomes a problem. Let me use my life and my wife and I as an example. And I say this to the glory of God. And I'm going to give you a type, and then we're going to go into the detail from Haggai and close. Years ago, I became a Christian, and then my wife met, got married, had our children, blah, 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 blah. Over the years, my priority has been what I just preached to you. I've been praying about this from Imperial College. That was what my life was. God gave me revelation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as I've been following that, healing, prosperity, marriage, children, they all came along the way, but they're not my priority. In the last few years, by the grace and the mercy of God, God has blessed my wife and I to some degree. I'm not worrying anymore about house or car or clothes or, you know, visa or those things are no longer, by the grace and the mercy of God, we have them. Yet both of us get up 3:30 every morning. To fast, to pray. Are we mad? Kilon lewa, honey. If it is needs, if it is material things that I'm looking for, I don't need to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm using us as an example. My priority and my main motivation now, I don't fast, pray, and walk in the Spirit because I have some material need, some money, or some... For me, Olubi Johnson, it's never been a priority anyway. From when I got the revelation when I was in Imperial College as a 21-year-old boy, it's always been this glory. The other things, they became needs over the years and God met them. And just as he said he would, you know. So, but the point is this. If we don't have more of us whose focus goes from material need to the glory, then there will not be in Jesus' name, a delay to the glory. Even amongst our word of faith, prosperity people, our priority is not the glory. It's a big church. If you ask the vision of many, many ministers, what's your vision? Oh, I want 5,000 people in my church. I want to have a TV ministry in America and all of that. You know, all those things now become the vision of the church, which is wrong. That's why during the Bible study, I made out the fact that you can have a multitude and no disciples. And you're not going to get plenty of reward for that. You will get some reward. No, no, you won't get, but it won't be much. In fact, you will, you know, when they build with wood, wood and stubble, the Bible says they suffer loss. These realities are not real to many Christians. See, most Christians think that, oh, you know, if I'm on television in America, I'm on television in England, I'm television here, and people are coming, and I have this big crowd of people that are coming, that's a successful ministry. Who told you? I want to ask two pertinent questions. Number one, that guy himself, is he a disciple? Second question is, how many disciples does he really have in that multitude? That will tell you whether it is wood, hay, or stubble, or whether it's just, you know, or whether it's precious gold, gold, silver, and precious stones, or whether it's just wood, hay, and stubble, that when the fire of the glory comes, we'll burn it up. I'm not going to get anything. It's going to lose. I got to go here. I don't want to go there, but I'm going to go there and quickly come back. Look at Lot. Lot left Abraham because of material blessing. Abraham was his spiritual father, apart from being his uncle. Number one. Number two, Abraham had a vision. God gave Abraham a purpose. He was to go and become a great nation and been given a supernatural son in his old age, through which will come the nation of Israel, through which the Messiah will come. All that was revealed to Abraham. He said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. When Abraham, watch this, darling. When Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern day Iraq, he left with a vision. Now, God didn't ask him to take Lot, but he took Lot. Because, well, you know, this is his nephew, and, you know, it's not a bad thing to do. But he must be careful that they will not. He didn't derail Abraham. But instead of Lot to acquire, watch this, the vision and the purpose that Abraham had got, Lot was following Abraham for the blessings. So when the amount of cattle and sheep increased, can you imagine? Was it not through Abraham that the blessing came? He now decided to depart from Abraham because he had now plenty of cattle. So that the thing he came for was not the purpose, but the cattle. Oh, God, have mercy on us. That's why he didn't come. The Bible says that Abraham was dwelling in tents. He said because he was seeking for a city that nobody, that man had not built, that God built. Lot was not looking for any such city. He was looking for things. So when Abraham said, if you go this way, I'll go this way. If you go this way, I'll go this way. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes. The church is full of lots today. And the Bible says he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the place was luscious and green. And it looked like the garden of the Lord. All that glitters is not gold. So, he went that way. Thank God for Abraham and the kind of person Abraham is. Abraham put his head down, and then God said, I've given you everything, including the one Lot went for. Anyway, to cut a long story short, Lot lost everything. In fact, he almost lost his life. It was Abraham's intercession that brought Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he didn't come up with one cattle, not one goat, not one. Everything he went for, he lost it. Then he committed incest with his own daughters and became the father of Amalek and Moab. That is the destiny of Christians who run after blessing without purpose. I said, I'll quickly go there and come back. It's a warning. And many are along that right line now. Observe, Lot went to heaven. And he was also called a just man. Yes. Okay, I'll come back down in a minute. They forget the purpose of which God had called them. So they're following God because of what they can get. And they wind up like Lot. He was called a just man. Just means righteous. He was in right standing with God. So Lot didn't go to hell. He went to heaven. But I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. How many people here want to be like Lot? Don't put up your hand. That's a very important, you know, honey, I never thought about that. Have you ever met any Lot? Lot Johnson or Lot? Have you ever heard anybody say, the name of this child is Lot? But have you heard of Caleb? Have you heard of Joshua? Have you heard of David? If you like Lot so much, why don't you name your next son after him? Are you getting my point? It's not a question whether you go to heaven or you don't go to heaven. The question is, what type of legacy and eternal reward will you get? And most people are not interested in that. They won't be like Lot. Luke 14, honey, you were telling me that you want me to look at it in the message Bible. Am I right? Luke 14, 25 and 26. Let's look at it in the Message Bible. Let me just... I explained it last week. Okay. He says, one day... This is a Message Bible. When large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them, anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go... I like the word yes. It's better than the word hate. It means to... to put Jesus on a higher priority. Or father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, even ones, he can't be my disciple. End of story. And if you won't let those things go, you cannot be a disciple. Let me get back to the message. Now, God now gave me, I mentioned this on Wednesday, but I must be honest with you, between Wednesday and today, which is Sunday, I got an insight I hadn't seen before. On Wednesday, I mentioned that the manifestation of the sons of God, the life of God being made manifest in the mortal flesh, is typified by Aaron's rod. How many people remember that? And in Aaron's rod, I'm going to hit this very quickly. You'll see this in Numbers chapter 17, in verse 8. Aaron's rod was a dead piece of wood. It had been cut from a tree. It had been polished. It was dead. It didn't have life in it anymore. Then God asked them to bring it to the tabernacle. And God gave life, the life of God made manifest where? In our mortal flesh, to Aaron's rod. And it did three things. I had never seen this before. Everyone say, bud, blossom, and animal. I said, God, he said, bud, heal the sick. Blossom, cleanse the leper. Almond, raise the dead. Give the Lord a clap offering. Wow. It fits like a glove. That's how you know it's God. When the life of God begins to manifest in the mortal flesh, it will empower, everybody say, consistent, instant, healing of the sick, bud. Cleansing of the lepers, blossom. Raising of the dead, almonds. There will be no argument. I gotta hurry. You know, Jesus' ministry was unique here. We see a little bit of it in Peter and John and the early apostles, but not like at the level of Jesus' ministry. That's why John wrote, he said, the things Jesus did, he said, if we have to write them, the book, the world will not contain the books. Why? They saw it every day. All that we see recorded in the four Gospels are just a sample. Wonderful scriptures. The Bible says, and virtue went out of him and healed them all, 20,000 people. How are you going to record that? How many people know that there's a difference between healing the sick and cleansing lepers? See, if somebody has fever, let me use fever because that's in the Bible. You know, Simon's mother-in-law, she had a fever. Jesus came, rebuked the fever, pulled her, and she got healed instantly. That's healing the sick. Then a leper comes to him. The leprosy is something you can see on the outside of the body. And then, if you will, thou shalt make me clean. Observe, in all of these instances, it was not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There was no word of wisdom or word of knowledge. Oh, your mommy is sick. And you know, she was sick. He came to the house. They told her he was sick. He came. Bible says he rebuked the fever. Held her hand and said, get up. And she was healed. Everybody say, instantly. That's the spirit without measure. In the case of the leper, he came to him and said, you heal me if you will. He said, I will. Be thou made clean. The Bible says the leprosy left him. Turn to your neighbor and say, leprosy can hear the voice of Jesus. It left. The Jairus' daughter, she died. They said, don't worry, the master. He said, don't worry, she's sleeping. How many people can say that today? I'm not about manifestation of sons of God. Come on, let's get real, Pastor Rhoda. How many people can say that they call you somebody sick, then you're on the way there, they say he's dead. You say, don't worry, she's sleeping. God don't be manifest. That's what is called manifestation of the sons of God. And God then says, daughter, I, the resurrection and the life, who has not yet been resurrected. Go, give him a clap offering, somebody. This is Olubi Johnson, 21st century paraphrase. I,
the resurrection and the life, who has not yet been resurrected, but now have the power of resurrection, say unto thee, arise. And she that was dead opened her eyes. That's your sample. Jesus did this like almost every week or every 2 weeks. It was constant. It was just recorded. These ones were just recorded for our benefit. And he's going somewhere to go and preach in the city of Nain. There is this funeral procession. A hearse. There's a boy. He has died. He's inside the coffin. They are going to bury him. Just sees the procession coming. And this old lady, who is a widow, crying and weeping. He said he was moved with compassion. Compassion is the love of God. And he said, Peter, James, stop that procession. Stop it. The day you can do that, you are a manifested son. He said, stop. Why are you stopping? Open the coffin. Yeah, Mrs. laughing. Open the coffin! Young man! I, the resurrection and the life, who has the power of the resurrection now, say unto thee, arise! That's manifested son. There is no, in our language, that means you see that there's a difference. You can see that in Paul's ministry, in Peter's ministry, they did raise the dead, but not like that. Not like that. Not even anywhere. And of course, Lazarus' own takes the cake. But the point is this. That's what we're going to be doing weekly. Don't you never say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Let's say, don't your neighbor say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. You know why? People don't believe it. What I just said, people don't believe it. But that's what the Bible means. Now, we've been through this. I'm just going to run through very quickly. My various sons will do these things I've spoken about. Consistent, instant healing of the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead. It's going to be consistent. It's going to be instant on a consistent basis. In their growth process, they will pay off the prayer debt. Pastor Wally brought out a daily rhema the other day called Birthing of Sons. Beautiful. So you can go and check it out. You know, complete the sufferings of the Christ. Fulfill all scripture. Make disciples of in all nations, like I explained, you know, earlier on during the Bible study. Now, I want to zero in. Everybody go to Haggai chapter 6. I'm going to close with this by the grace and the mercy of God. This is where I ask God. Please go back to King James. Some of these things are not very good in Message. Message is good in some places, but in some places, they completely lose the revelation. You know, it's very watered down because, you know, they explain a lot of things in the outer court. But it's very good in some other places. That's why you need several translations. Now, for thus saith the Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lalu. For thus saith the Lord, yet once is a little while, that's verse 6, I will shake the heavens and the earth and dry it out. Verse 7, everybody let's read together. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. I'm going to stop there, you know, because there's so many other things, but I don't, because of time, I just want to zero in. I asked the Lord, I said, why? Before I tell you what I asked the Lord, let me say this to you. I, Olubi Johnson, I have been expecting the manifestation of the glory of God since the year 2002. And I'll tell you why.
After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. So I was expecting. Looking back now, that's 19, 20 years ago. Looking back now, I now know why it couldn't have happened then. But at that time, that was my understanding. After 2 days, he will revive us, and in the third day, he will raise us up. So we're expecting. We're expecting, but nothing happened. You know? And then I'll keep praying. Every year, I'll pray. And I'll get more revelation. I'll get more understanding. Then I began to get better and better understanding. So I now asked the Lord, when this 2021 came, I said, Lord, what happened? How come this thing has not happened, you know, the way we expected it to expect it out? Because me, I don't deceive myself. You know, people will just see a little move of the spirits. You know, some people get healed. They will get some word of wisdom. And they'll say, oh, the glory has started. The glory has not started. When the glory starts, we will know. We're going to see what I've just described. We're going to see the daughter of Jairus healed, raised. We're going to see the widow of the son of the widow of Nain healed. We're going to see Lazarus is raised. Then we know it has started. Stop deceiving ourselves. Are you listening to me? When it starts, we're going to see consistent, instant healing of the sick, cleansing of lepers. You will be seeing blind eyes open daily. You will see withered hands grow out consistently. There are these beggars who are, some of them are my friends in Songo here. You know, anytime they see my car, they'll come and, Pastor, I always give them something, you know. And I told the Lord, I said, God, I'm tired of giving them money. Let's give them glory. And why not? That's what Peter and John did at the gate. Beautiful. Said, silver and gold I don't have. What I have. But it's going to be consistent. Are you listening to me? Then we know the glory has come. When we now see water changed to wine, all the businessmen will come and see you. Hello, somebody. That's the glory. Don't let's water it down. It's not the gifts of the Spirit and occasional healings and things which we already have. That's not the glory of which we speak. The glory that Jesus had. Now, I asked the Lord, I said, what's going on here? And then he explained to me. He said, you see, back then, he said, you didn't have as much understanding as you have now. And he said, it's not your fault. He said, because the path of the righteous shines more and more to the birth. He said, that is why I wrote in my word. He said, the problem with you people, and God's talking to me, is that you don't read the word carefully. And you put your own interpretation on what I have said. I said, after 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up. He said, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And his appearing will be as certain as the morning, you know, as the coming of the dawn. Then he said, if you go to Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 3, I said that the vision is for an appointed time. He said, but at the end it shall speak and it will not lie. Then I said, if it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. And then I now said, it will not tarry. He said, I am waiting for an appointed year in which the church will fulfill the conditions. So anytime it doesn't happen, keep praying. Though it tarry, what? Wait. Don't wait passively. You wait actively. Like Anna, who was waiting and praying with fasting and prayer. You keep fasting and praying. Keep waiting. All the prayers you've been praying on, he says, not one of them is wasted. He said, I've stored everything up in heaven. Not one prayer has been wasted. Until, he said, it will surely come. Give this to me in the Amplified. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint, though it tarry. See, God knew that it would take time for us to get the conditions right. He said, wait earnestly for it because it will surely come. It's a certainty. In the other scripture, it says that as certain as the morning, it will not be behind on its appointed day. In other words, when the conditions are fulfilled, it will happen in that season of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because that's the third feast that's going to be fulfilled. We've got Passover, it happened exactly at Passover. We got Pentecost, it happened exactly. This one is going to happen in Tabernacles. We may not know the exact day because Tabernacles is a long feast. It starts from trumpets. We have trumpets, we have Day of Atonement, we have the Feast of Tabernacles proper, which is a 7-day feast. It can happen in the beginning, it could happen in the middle, it could happen at the end. We don't know. Nobody knows that. But we know the season. So that it will not be behind. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. On its appointed day. So, when I was now reviewing all of this with the Lord, he now told me, he said, so what you need to do now is to begin to prepare yourselves for the next appointed day. And that's why I taught recently on united praying in the Spirit, for the Spirit without measure. All the prayers we're praying now, amplified power of united prayer in the Spirit, for the Spirit without measure, is being generated and it's being stored up now towards the next appointed day. Then he showed me something. I said, Lord, you need to have mercy on us and help us. He said, there is no way. Let's go back to Haggai now and also Luke 21. In my Bible, because my Bible is a nice computer Bible, I can look at two scriptures. I put them side by side. You know, he said, there is no way it would have happened before the blood moons. He said, so all those years, 2002, the blood moons didn't happen on 2014, 2016. He said, because the blood moons indicated an escalation of the spiritual warfare in the heavenlies, that were now dropping the demons, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, they were dropping to the earth, that now began the shaking of the nations, which I've shared with us before. The Chibok girls, the American Supreme Court judgment on gay marriage, you know, then this latest one, the insurrection. And it's very interesting, the insurrection happened on January, lockdown started March. The whole nation's just locked down. Because initially, WHO didn't even declare it as a pandemic. Everybody wasn't sure. Then the whole thing happened and the shaking of all nations. Now, we'll go to Haggai and we close. He says, and I will shake all nations. I didn't hear you. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory. Now turn to your neighbor. Say the house could not be filled with glory until all nations had been shaken. That's the problem. We don't read the Bible properly. There's no way. You're not going to get the desire of all nations, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the glory, it cannot come until the nations had been shaken. Stand to your feet. The good news is the nations have now been shaken. So we can demand. For two things. The desire of all nations to come and to fill the house with glory. We couldn't do it before. We didn't know these scriptures before. We knew them, but we didn't have light on them. Revelation on them. You see, the shaking of all nations, and the shaking of all nations could not come until the blood moons. When the warfare intensified, it was the bombardment of the heavenlies and the dropping of the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness into the earth that began increase. The nations have always been shaken, but the frequency and the severity of the shakings went to another level after the blood moons.
All that had to take place. And then it was some nations. Nigeria was shaken with the Chibok girls. America was shaken with the Supreme Court. America was shaken. God said, I'm not done yet. Everybody needs to be shaken. This is after the shaking of all nations. He says, then the desire, the manifested sons of God will come and then fill the house with glory. Let's talk to God. The manifestation of the sons of God is around the corner. And we have a part to play. The Bible tells us, let us hasten. So we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. See, this is one of the things about the church that the church doesn't like to accept. And it's part of our spiritual childishness. The next book we're going to do now is 1 Corinthians. Which is a church endowed with all the gifts of the Spirit, but a very childish church. It describes the majority of the church today on the earth. Where just most of the churches today are just like the Corinthians. Envy, strife, fornication, all kinds of rubbish. Yet they come behind in no gift. And God needs to change all of that. Clean that mess up. I'm going to do 1 Corinthians next. But now, we need to understand that we have a responsibility. Daniel understood by the books, like I have given you this understanding now. I yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me. The number of years. He understood that, look at it. I've given you understanding now. All the nations have been shaken. So now, we need to bring the desire of all nations, the manifested sons of God, and fill the house with glory. So I now understand by the book. But what did Daniel do? He took responsibility. He didn't say, Jeremiah has prophesied it, so it's just going to happen. No, he said, I set my face. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's day to set our face. In fasting, in prayer, in supplications, in travail, in walking in the Spirit, in imitating Jesus to bring the glory. We must not let another year roll by. Too many bad things are happening. Redeeming the time. A better rendering of that would be redeeming the years. The time, there's years. Because the days are evil. Let's talk to God. Glorious things of thee. Zion.
Zion city of our God.
He whose word
cannot be broken from thee
for his own abode.
On the rock of ages
none can shake our sure repose with salvation's walls. Glory to God. Walls surrounded, we now smile at all. Again, glorious things
of thee.
It's a prophetic song.
Zion,
city of our God, he whose word cannot be broken.
For him.
On above, on the rock of ages.
On the rock of ages founded,
none can shake our shrubbery with salvation's walls around them.
Salvation's walls around.
smile. The next verse. See the streams of
living water
springing,
springing from eternal
love, well supplied. Faint, why such a river of thirst to a swim. Grace, which like the Lord the giver never fails from age to sing it again. See the streams. See, that's what God wants us to see now. Raise your other hand to God. Grace which like. What a word. That grace will not fail us.
Never fail us from it.
Grace. Sing it, Vidami.
Lord the
It will not fail.
Never fails from age to
put that hand up. Say, Heavenly Father, oh, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. That the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Thank you for enlightening me, showing me that now is the time for your glory to fill the house. Because we have seen the shaking of all nations. And the whole creation now is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Father, I confess my sins where I've been selfish, self-centered, where I've been following you only for bread and fish, only for material and physical blessings. But now I change my orientation. I'm now going to follow you for your flesh and for your blood, to become like you, to allow your life to be made manifest in my mortal flesh, empowering, consistent, instant healing of the sick, cleansing of lepers, and raising of the dead, and casting out devils, so that men will see on us the same glory that they saw on the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that the days are evil, the years are evil. So, Lord, by your mercy and by your grace, I'm going to play my part in the intercession, in the prayers,
in the taking up my cross daily, in the fear of God, in obedience, in walking in the Spirit, in keeping the commandment of life and love, I'm going to play my part to hasten the coming of this glory, because the days are evil. Men are dying every day that we can save by the glory in Jesus' name. Nikatolomo sheketo frede. Lo prininge toske fredesk. Lombriga rashoko ke. Father, thank you, Sikada Glamatorosk. Jesus, thank you. Ramandananga toloe ekohor. Holy Ghost, thank you. Ziliki kekofrenengaras. For your blood. Lipriketolomon to fresh. For your life. Shakaka kekofrede. Lombrakatolomon to fredo freshing. Ziki to fre. Lombrakatolomo shaka. For your power, Nea Kokoro, Rika to Fre, Lombriik, Yoko, Fredek, Lombrigelamatoske Fre, Lombridolomasha. Nea, no Kodomotolomer to Frenes, Zofrideke Glamatolomas, Tolomatu Fredo Fres, Ziki to Fredo Fres, Longer do Fredo Fres. You know why I laughed? As we were praying, God spoke to me. You know, the Bible says, God will laugh. I mean, no, God laughs. You know what he said to me? He said, no nation, after this shaking that they've gone through, will shut the door against people that will instantly heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead. They may have done it before the shaking, but now, if they see it is genuine, they will say, please come. Come and come to Macedonia and help. No nation. Says the King of glory will come in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and ye everlasting doors. Nobody. See, the reason why they are skeptical about the church, and I used to be like that before I became a Christian. I must be honest with you. You know, the reason why they are skeptical is because they see greed. They see covetousness. They see that this one is, the reason why he's saying all this is because of the money he wants to get. Yes. But when they see the real thing, and then you go there and you don't even take a cobble, and even when they give you like Elisha, you say, no. Naaman, take your money. You cannot buy the gift of God with money. Then they will say, they are real. Let them come. If you need healing for your body, let's just quickly do that. Father, for all those under the sound of my voice that are in need of healing in their bodies, the Bible says you send your word and heal them and deliver them from their disorder. I send the healing word now in Jesus' name. I say, be thou made whole. And I come against spirits of infirmity, spirits of depression, spirits of oppression. I cast you out. Destroy your works. And I bind you in Jesus' name. I say, you're delivered and you're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live. You will not die. Amen. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfy you. And show you his salvation. Even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.